Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Welcome to the Weekden Update, your weekly dose of everything Grizzlies, presented by the Grizzden Podcast and the Fans First Sports Network. I'm your host, Will Walker, and I'm joined every week by John Kraft. How's it going, John?
It's going well. I wish we'd pulled off the game today, but, 8-6 in the month of January, pretty good for like having half your team. So I'll take it.
Due to some scheduling and logistics, we did not have a Weekden Update last week, which means we have more to discuss this week about the last 2 weeks. We did, however, have a Q2 report in your feed, which I hope you're able to listen to. It was a great conversation with the full crew, and we unpacked where we are this season, where we're headed, and it acted sort of as a semi-preview to the trade deadline, which is here. It's upcoming in less than 2 weeks, and our plan is to have a lot more dedicated to the trade deadline in this feed, but for the meantime, we've got a Weekden Update here to get to you. And with that, I'll start with our stats. The Grizzlies are 18-28, 4-3 since the last Weekden Update. They're 13th in the West, which they've been for a long time now, 24th in the NBA, actually moved up one spot past the Raptors there. 5.5 games back from the 10 seed, which is the same as we were a couple weeks ago. 29th in offense still, and 11th in defense, went up one spot there. 25th in net rating with a minus 5.3. We start every Weekden Update with our who's up and our who's down. John, I'll start this week, and then I'll pass it to you for your who's up and who's down. My who's up is the future of downtown Memphis. Now, nothing has been finalized. There's still a lot of work to do for the city to gather the funding it needs to renovate FedEx Forum. But Sam Hardiman with the Daily Memphian reported on an article that published earlier today, I believe. And essentially, it was confirmation that conversations have been happening behind the scenes, not only about the FedEx Forum renovation, but the Grizzlies' interest in partnering with the city to revitalize Beale Street and the surrounding area that is next to the arena, but then, of course, extends to the whole district downtown, that they want to essentially create more of an entertainment district and just try to clean things up. I think that, you know, this is a podcast dedicated to the Grizzlies, but there are times when these conversations overlap with what's going on in the city. And in this instance, it's just something that I just want to commend the Grizzlies for staying committed to Memphis, as it seems they haven't made any public comment. But from this reporting, it does seem as though they want to collaborate and work together to make downtown just more revitalized, like I said. And so that was a who's up for me amidst a season that's, you know, we're now moving to the development phase of this Grizzly season, but moving forward, we expect to be good, and we expect to be good for a long time, and we hope that we have an arena that also meets those standards in conjunction with a downtown Memphis that that needs some work right now, but we're part of a bigger organization now that's hopefully going to do their part and hopefully private investment, you know, follows that big step by the Grizzlies. So here's to a bright future.
Yeah, I think that matches with what we talked about earlier, where like when we were all upset about City Money and it became Grizzlies versus Memphis and all this thing. And I think the two of us kept reiterating that one, it's not just about sports teams. It's actually the area around the stadiums, you know, and so downtown Memphis is actually way more important, you know, in my opinion, to kind of revitalizing city. You know, we'd had kind of downtown revitalization, I think. And then I think COVID has kind of, you know, put us in a little where it feels like we've taken a step back a little bit. We've kind of struggled to kind of come back from COVID a little bit. But I think, you know, so not only revitalizing downtown, but obviously, you know, University of Memphis plays basketball games in FedEx Forum as well. So I think, you know, a renovated FedEx Forum, Grizzlies franchise and FedEx Forum working with the city of Memphis to help downtown. I mean, it's a win-win for everybody. So it was good to read that this morning. My who's up is Jaren Jackson as high usage isolation scorer. And I say that because, you know, we threw out a couple stats, but one, he's one of the top people getting the free throw line. He has one of the top efficiencies in sort of one-on-one post play. And just, you know, basically anytime he, you know, basically scores off unassisted. So he's creating it himself. And, you know, just even today, Basketball Index was tweeting out that the top 10 centers in self-created shot making, number one, Nikola Jokic, not surprising. Number three, Joel Embiid. And then number two, in between the two of them, is Jaren Jackson Jr. And part of that was even watching him today. Kobe will, you know, we have to watch the Grizzlies broadcast. But I had some buddies and just texting with people who were listening to the commentators, the other commentators, and it was interesting because the Pacers commentators were talking about we need to guard Jaren like we guard Giannis. As he was bringing the ball up the court, they were talking about building a wall against Jaren because obviously the Pacers, you know, being in Milwaukee's division, I believe they play them a lot. And it was very interesting to me. And that it kind of hit me that when we see Jaren bringing the ball up, it is very, very similar to when Jenkins was under Coach Bud and the way the Bucks play with Giannis, with him bringing the ball up. And I just thought that was very interesting. I think it's an interesting thing to think about going forward, but I just think a continued excitement for the development of Jaren Jackson Jr. I think about 2 years ago in the Warriors series when we lost Jaw, how Jaren was just unable to create his own shots, especially in some really critical moments in game five and game six down the stretch. And I just think about that. It's just very interesting to think about possibly who we see as our third option on offense, being able to become this sort of an isolation scorer. I just think it makes it very interesting. It'll be exciting with kind of the bench lineups and different things we can put out there when Jaw's maybe not on the floor to have Jaren create things. So I just thought that's very interesting, but I think that's a good what's up for the last couple weeks, obviously, as Jaren is like our only sort of legitimate star on our team now. So anyway.
What's your who's down?
I thought about... I wanted to say Zaire, but I just think maybe we should just, this is the Zaire who's down, like basically just
Zaire Memorial who's down.
The Zaire Memorial who's down. So my who's down is Grizz Twitter, and we may be able to talk about this more as we talk about the games and things. But I'm frustrated with how, you know, obviously people are like, John, you're shocked that Twitter would be negative or X or whatever it's called now. But, you know, the Grizzlies have very few of the rotation players. We're coming off a 3-game win streak, and there's just still all this anti-Taylor Jenkins, frustration and hatred out there for Coach Jenkins. And I know that we even had our own good conversations about it. And I think, you know, I'm not saying that he's the best coach in the world or that, you know, maybe that we might need to try to upgrade or change coaches if we want to win a title in the future. But I don't think anybody should be complaining about the fact that we're over 500 in the month of January, that we're out competing teams that were out scheming teams and winning games we probably shouldn't be winning if you just look at the rosters. And so I just think, you know, in some ways it's like we're almost spoiled, honestly. We're coming off a 3-game win streak and people are frustrated with some lineup stuff. And we can talk about maybe why he's doing the things he's doing. But I just thought, you know, come on, let's have some positivity. I just think for me, we should celebrate everybody in the Grizzlies organization because we just have been decimated. This has been a cursed season. And yet I'm still actually excited about watching almost all of the games. We've been competitive even in the games, and we'll talk about them, that we kind of lost by a lot of points, like T-Wolves or the Bulls, or even today. We were competitive, you know, for a large part of those games. And maybe even having a lead in the second half. And I just think we need to, people need to, you know, stop getting so upset about, because I think we are playing really well for where we are.
So my who's down, I had a couple, and it's really ironic paired with your who's up, but there, as much as I feel like Jaren has had his moments in the last 6-7 games since, you know, MLK Day, which he obviously had a great one then. But I do feel like there is a level of him being thrust into the first option is revealing to me that even if he does have the numbers, it doesn't look like his natural position. And I don't think it's ever going to be again, barring another crazy setback season like this one. I did note that he is, since MLK Day, 11 for 44. From 3-point range, which is 25%. And that was going to be my who's down. But then you pulled out a bunch more numbers that showed me, you know what, like, it's fine if he's not going to shoot great from three, because it seems as if he's doing everything else. So with that said, I'm going to move to my second who's down, which is the Luke Kennard injury status. He was out now two of the last three games for different lower leg injuries. One was, I think, like a right quad. The other one was a left knee soreness. And I don't know if this is, my antenna's a little up here, because I'm not sure with the trade deadline approaching, are they being just extra cautious with him, as he is kind of the one guy that we've pinpointed as a swing trade piece potentially. I personally, as we've thought more about it, would rather, I think my best case scenario with Luke Kennard is we decline his team option for next year and re-sign him to a 3-year deal that hopefully could get under $10 million per year in annual value. Three for 27 is like the ideal here for me when it comes to Kennard. But I do get frustrated because he's played so well in a playmaker role, and obviously he's just money from three whenever he has a little bit of space. And we saw that especially against the Magic. And I just enjoy watching him play. And you saw us start David Roddy at the two. And so we're just running out of guards. Scottie Pippen has been a really fun story here. He was a candidate for my who's up as well. But overall, I just wish that, I don't know if there's gamesmanship going on with the Grizzlies or if Luke Kennard is this injury prone, but we just need to keep an eye on that injury report for him moving forward and see if there's any consistency there, or if it continues to be these, you know, seems to be these lower leg, just pick a spot, you know, and just call that what it is to get him on the injury report and out of the game. Because it's weird, a few games ago he was out, and then the next game he wasn't even questionable, he was just all the way active, and then he's back to out again. And so I'm not sure what's going on, but that's my who's down. Let's just keep an eye on that.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see if he plays in the Kings game. It would make me feel more like it's a lingering thing than just giving him an extra day on a back-to-back. But yeah, I do think, I mean, I think I've seen some people bring that up, and I think there is this sense of, because I'm with you at this point. I just think he would be a great role player, guy off the bench to come and really, especially against certain matchups, be able to come in and I think with our full hot roster, he's going to get a lot of open looks. But I do start, you know, you start to worry. I mean, that has always been a concern. He is somebody who is injury prone. He was not able to finish the playoffs last year for us. And so that is something I think to consider. And if we do end up keeping him and not trading him, then I think we do need to look at the rest of the season. Is he durable? Like, because, you know, it just seems like once he starts playing more than about 20 minutes a game, he is very injury prone, and I think that is something to kind of monitor for sure. And then I also say it's, you know, I agree. Trust me, no one, you know, of course, there's people who think I love Jaren too much. I'm not saying that Jaren is Giannis, and I'm not. And I do think that he is best served being able to be our defensive anchor and then a third option in offense. I think what for me, it's just a fun wrinkle to think about, like some of the lineups we're putting out there now, thinking about those being bench lineups. I mean, as crazy as it sounds, as good as Vince Williams has looked and maybe even Conchar and other people, like thinking about having these kind of lineups we can throw in so we don't have these terrible weird second quarters we had to begin the year and things like that. And so I just think it's interesting. It's like an interesting little wrinkle we have that hopefully will be something we can pull out from time to time. But I don't think it's a you know, playoff formula as the number one option for sure.
So since we last spoke on the weekend update, there were some games that happened. And I want to go through what those games were, and then I want to ask you what you took away from them as a whole, and then maybe we can go through some of the notes that we took along the way. Lost to the Timberwolves, 9 p.m. game on TNT. Wasn't a very fun one to stay up for. It was close until they went on a run towards the end. The Bulls game, to me, was the, you know, burn the tape type game. Just was, we were flat. I mean, we got close there in the third quarter, and then the Bulls went on like a 15-0 run, and at that point it was over. And then we started a little three-game win streak here. So we went to Toronto and beat the Raptors on their home floor, went to Miami with only 9 players active, held them to 96 points, ended up winning 105-96, and then came back home against the Orlando Magic, who are a young team that's had some success this season and are considered to be, you know, middle of the pack in the East, but still really strong. And one by one, had to pull it out in clutch time. And then today, we're recording on Sunday night, 2:30 p.m. My prediction was that this is going to be the lowest watched Grizzlies game of the season by ratings due to the NFL games going on. But we go to Indiana the first night of a back-to-back and lose. We were up. It was kind of a yo-yo type performance. And in the end, just they made the plays they needed to make to get the win, and we didn't. And so, John, as we look across these 6 games that occurred over the last 2 weeks, what's a takeaway that you had?
I mean, number one takeaway, and obviously this is, we've been talking about this, but the number one takeaway is Vince Williams is good, and he might be more than just a good rotation level player. He might be an elite role player. Which is huge because, I mean, we're talking like, you know, a KCP type player, a Andre Iguodala later years type player, like the kind of guy who, in fact, I mean, I think Andre Iguodala is interesting because I think he's someone who, at least while we have Smart, might not start for us, but might end up closing in a lot of lineups for us. But just how good he's been. And honestly, in fact, I think the reason why we lost today's game against the Pacers, besides the obvious, which is Zaire, which we can talk, that can be a takeaway too in a minute. But him, you know, he missed 2 layups, kind of just over, you know, he was going hard. I mean, they weren't like just wide open, easy layups, like a choke, but they were layups in traffic that he missed that he's been making. Which is funny because he was 8 of 12. Like he could have been 10 of 12 to continue his extremely efficient scoring. And I just think he has been a revelation as far as like man, like Marcus Smart might need to he might need to come in playing really good because he might become a sixth man with how good Vince Williams is playing. And I just think he's been a revelation. I think it's been exciting. You've seen. You've had all the analytic nerds talking about it, but then you have, you know, a Bill Simmons, a KOC, our favorite, and others pointing out, you know, how big of a deal Vince Williams been for us. And he's just a huge part of our winning formula. I mean, I don't, you know, I do think we'd be in total full, like, we're never, I don't think we'd ever be in tank mode as far as like purposely losing, but we would be in like, we're losing every game without him in the stretch, and yet we've been over 500. So I think he's the number one for me takeaway has just, and I think even more, I mean, as ecstatic as we were when the four of us recorded about his contract and how good it was. I mean, it looks even better now, like a massive steal. Like, I can't believe we're going to have him. I mean, at this point, we're definitely picking up that team option, I feel like, barring something crazy, because he's going to be worth more than that in 3 years, I think. So all that said, I think that's been the exciting. I mean, he has been the silver lining in a hard year, I think. So that's my number one, but I'll see what you have, and then I have some others too.
Yeah, his versatility to me has just been on display. The fact that he can handle the ball in lineups that, you know, we've noted how we're so light on guards. I could have inserted Derrick Rose into the whole who's down injury thing. Like, when are we going to get an update on his hamstring that's been lingering for weeks at this point? But overall, Vince being able to handle the ball, guarding the best player on the other team, having a great time doing it. I love the screenshots of him smiling while guarding the best player on the other team. And also just putting the ball in the hoop. Like, scoring over, he's had three different instances in the last 2 weeks where he's set a career high in scoring. And it's on efficient, like the most efficiency we've seen by a player in a long time that isn't named Luke Kennard. Like, literally had over 100% true shooting percentage, which is really funny to me that like that's even possible. But it's this true shooting is like an analytics stat that you get more credit when you're making threes. And so there is a possibility that it can go over 100, and he did it in the Heat game, which was just hysterical. And the best part of it to me is he's not a guy that is going to like on the court. He's a different guy than he is off it. And I mean that in the best way, which is he's kind of quiet. He's kind of shy. He's not going to ever want the spotlight. If you ever heard an interview, it's clear that he's not used to having this much credit put on him for something like this. He just likes to go out and hoop. But as soon as he steps on the floor, he is a dog, and he will talk to the best players. We've seen him, you know, talk to like CJ McCollum and Luka Doncic, some, you know, Grizz enemies, if you will. And that's been just getting me pumped to watch him play and watch how much he loves it. And so I agree with you. You can't help but have that be your number one takeaway from this stretch. And to me, it makes it exciting to watch this team. Obviously, there's some people out there, mostly online, that I feel like at this point are not celebrating Grizzlies wins because they think in their mind that losing is actually better. And if you want to get down to it, there's a very small chance we're going to catch anybody that we're passing right now in the standings. And I mentioned at the very top, we've been the same seed in the West for now 2 straight months. Like, this is not going to change anytime soon, even if we win. And so why not celebrate developments that lead to actual victories? Because we're setting good habits, and we're seeing a guy like Vince Williams, who you mentioned the contract, that cannot be overstated. The fact that we signed him when we did, took a risk by cutting a true center, which we're seeing, if Jaren is out, Xavier Tillman's the guy, and then you have David Roddy having to come in. He played the two today, and he's playing center in other lineups, depending on who we have out. And that was a big step to take before the trade deadline. We could have just kicked the can down the road and created a roster spot that way, but we were smart. We took advantage of it, and now Vince Williams is blowing up. And for good for him. Like, this is just an unbelievable win for the season, the fact that we've identified Vince. GG is another takeaway, of course, just pouring in 18-point games like they're nothing. And so, anyway, Vince, though, just wanted to give double props to him.
Yeah, I mean, I think, and I even loved, like, even today, you know, after the two layups, Brevin and Pete were talking about the fact that Marcus Smart and a bunch of guys, Jaw, were, like, all, because he was so upset. Like, he was distraught. You know, I mean, you look around the rest of the league and you have teams, obviously, famously Embiid and other people, like, taking nights off. Like, you have some weird blowouts going on right now in the middle of the season. And here you have a guy miss a couple layups. They've won three in a row, and he is, like, distraught to the point where people were having to, you know, talk to him. He got a technical foul. He got a second delay of game because he was so upset that he missed a free throw in the fourth quarter that he, like, walked outside of the 3-point line, which is a delay of game. And so you gotta love the competitiveness. We give him a contract, and it's like he became even more competitive. And so I really, it's been fun. He's fun. I mean, he's worth, like, he's the kind of guy. I mean, Tony Allen was like this. He's the kind of guy that even we have people out. I mean, like, I'm excited about going to FedEx Forum tomorrow night. Even though our team, you know, we don't have Job, we don't have Bang, we don't have these, but I'm excited just to watch him play defense, be all over the place. He's that kind of player. It's really exciting that we have him and that we're going to have him for a while.
A few other takeaways I had: the elite defensive performance that we had against the Raptors, where Jaren had 6 steals in the first quarter, and then John Conchar had 5 blocks over the course of the game. It was so fun. That game was so unexpectedly fun. And we know that the Raptors are undergoing their own transition. Pascal Siakam had been traded since that. We actually saw him today on his new team. So we played him against when he was on the Pacers, and didn't play him when he was on the Raptors. But overall, just that performance that night was really fun. It was one of those games that was not necessarily ever in doubt, which made it even more fun. And it's because of the performance we had in the first half, which we've struggled in first halves this season, but we didn't that game, and it was due to the defense, due to the fast break points generated as a result of steals and blocks and things like that. The Heat game was just, to me, the highlight over the course of this. I mean, I went in just think, like, I have a few Heat friends in my life and was texting them throughout the night, just like, man, we got no shot. This would be super embarrassing for y'all. You know, they're always comparing Bam to Jaren. Bam is always their defensive player of the year and never gets the credit he deserves type thing. And I will say Jaren does tend to play not his best when it comes to, you know, AD and Bam and guys like other American centers who might have an argument for defensive player of the year. But Bam didn't have a great night either. So that wasn't the reason. And then the Heat just not being able to score over 100. And Zaire Williams, who went 0-for-8, was still a positive in the plus-minus. And that's where I told my friends, like, that is the biggest indictment of your team right now, that can actually happen. And so that to me was like the highlight, the peak of this whole 6-game stretch. And then it was almost like the Orlando win was icing on the cake, where we just got an all-around victory from guys from Vince Williams down the roster. And it was just super fun to see that performance and see Jaren dominate a guy that we all like in Wendell Carter Jr. And they're hoping maybe will show up on the Grizzlies team. But it was a reminder that Jaren he's got power in his game. It's not all finesse. Yeah. And so anyway, those are just a few notes that I had down as highlights.
The Heat game was great. It was on the Heat culture, the famous Heat culture court, so good, as well, with all their mantras. And we outheated them. I mean, it was amazing. We outcultured them with, we were making all the hustle plays. We were being more physical with them. I mean, I think that's honestly the part of what I liked about this stretch was, I think the Heat loss early in the season and the Raptors loss early in the season were two really down. I mean, those were two really low moments, because the Heat, it was just, they out-physicaled us. We looked so, we just looked bad in that earlier loss. So to come and just be the exact opposite was awesome. And same thing with Toronto. Like, when we got Jaw back, that Toronto loss was one of probably the lowest moments of the season. And we obviously came back and won 3 games in a row after that and had some of our best wins. Of course, then we started getting all the bad news about injuries. But and so I liked that. I like when we lose to teams early, coming back and then beating them the next game, and kind of, you know, and honestly, going back to the Coach Jenkins thing, I mean, I think it does help to see, okay, we adjust, we come with the right, we come in ready to beat teams that have beat us before. I mean, that's what I'm always looking for from our team. And so those are really exciting to me. And you mentioned Gigi Jackson earlier. I just want to go ahead. I want to give Ty credit. So I'm going to quote Ty here, but he was just talking about how quiet his 18 points were. And just how a lot of our just why I think we can be so bullish on him at this point is that so many of our other young guys, whether, you know, especially Zaire, but then also Roddy, also Laravia, you know, even when you look at a guy like John Conchar, who we love, you know, we are a Conchar fan club podcast, but how hard it is for them to generate points, and just how Gigi didn't even feel like he got a lot of shots or was doing much in the game, and he scored 18 points. Like, it is, it's very exciting to think of what he can become, just a natural scorer. And what I've really loved from him especially is you can tell he's young, but each game he's getting better at defense. He's getting better at figuring out how to get in front of the rim and use his size. He rebounds. Honestly, he draws, like, when a part of the quiet scoring is he draws fouls. Like, even when he kind of gets himself in trouble, he finds a way to get fouled too. And so that's been, he's my second. I mean, Vince has been a revelation, but Gigi's also been somebody who's just very, very exciting to me and something that I really like. The opposite of exciting. I feel like maybe we're just beating a dead horse. So I don't know, but I think we just have to talk about it. I mean, Zaire, did have an 0-8, but a positive plus minus. But it was a terrible game. I mean, in fact, one of my favorite moments of the Heat game was at one point, there's like three or four just really embarrassing. Zaire has not been able to finish at all in this stretch. It's been very, very upsetting. But basically, Pete says, man, Zaire has just had a really, really frustrating, and he like paused for a minute I don't know if it was a dramatic pause or if he was then like seeing something going on in the game. And before he could say night, Brevin Knight just blurted out season. and then quickly, he said season, and then, Panica said, yeah, frustrating night. Like, he totally, like, Brevin said season, and then Pete came in and tried to make it lesser. I rewound it because I thought it was so funny. But it's just, I hate it because, that Magic game, he played well. He still had a lot of bad plays. I mean, even when he plays well, he does things, and I think it's often hard. But when he's in the game, I mean, a lot of our defensive breakdowns, like today against the Pacers, twice, he came in the game, in that end of that third quarter, which honestly, we can talk about end of clutch stuff and those two missed layups by Vince, but there was a 10-0 run that happened in the third quarter that really, really hurt us. And it was a rough lineup that was out there. But twice, Zaire just, we were supposed to switch. He didn't switch, and a guy got a wide open three. It was just stuff like that. And it's really hard because I actually think he's not as bad as he's been playing recently. But I do think that the emergence of Vince, the emergence of Gigi, him honestly us barely having any players and him not even starting, I think it's dawning on him that this is just, the Grizzlies are probably not a part of his future. I mean, at least honestly, I'd say it, but I hope he's not a part of our future. I hope that we can find a way to get him off this roster at the trade deadline, or at least through a trade in the summer. I don't want to just wave him. But I mean, it's getting, it's just getting really bad. And I hate it because at this point, I just don't know if there are any teams that might think they can sort of resurrect his career in some way. It just looks bad. And I don't know. I don't know what you think. I don't know if there's some team that could trick themselves into thinking, well, if we give him wide open threes and lobs, maybe he's decent at that. And he had a positive plus minus with Jaw. So maybe his bad play is just not having a superstar. I don't know. But it does. I am starting to fear that we're going to have to give up some asset to get him off of the books. But I just, like, to me, it would be tragic, honestly, if we give up guys like Conchar, who I think just plug and play. He does a lot of little things for us. He's not in the rotation, but he helps during the regular season. Like, if we got rid of him instead of Zaire, but it might be the case because I just think there's probably more teams that want Conchar at this point than Zaire. I don't know.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I don't hate to say it. He needs to be off this team. I would call the Magic. I would have called them right when the buzzer sounded after the other night and said, how about this guy who just cooked y'all? And then if I'm the Magic, I'm calling back and I'm saying, can we look at any other game this season, maybe? And I think I would ask for a little bit in return to get off that contract. But overall, it's been a disaster. I mean, he has had injuries that has been, those have been a real part of his story. I don't think that they've been enough to completely absolve where he is right now. I mean, I think to me, what's even more damning, honestly, is the way that the team reacted to his performance against the Magic, where, yeah, he had a pretty good game overall. He hit shots. He had a couple of key, you know, he had one drive that looked good, maybe a couple of rebounds here and there, hustle plays. And we're acting like it is the just a 50-point performance by Ja with the way that the team crowds him and is freaking out. And I think that that standard being lowered to the point where we're celebrating it the way we are, and when I say we, I mean the team is celebrating it the way that they are, is, I think, its own evidence that things are gone for him. Like, there's no, there's nothing he can do at this point to convince me that he deserves to stay on this team. And I think that you've seen, if you follow me on Twitter, you've seen that activity pick up. I've just, I can't help myself than to just tweet out what I think about him, because it's just gotten to a point where we're giving minutes to a guy that's actively hurting the team 9 times out of 10 that he's on the floor. And it's, yeah, sure, the tools are there. I don't know where he is mentally. I can't, you know, I'm not going to say that it's a really easy spot that he's in, especially if he spends any time online, because he gets absolutely cooked. And so I get the team supporting him in that respect, because there's just they're going to be more loyal, and I respect it. Overall, though, there is nothing in me that believes he should be on this team longer than February 8th. And if he is, it better be for a pretty good reason. And if he is still, then I don't believe he should get any more minutes, barring a night like we had the other night with the Heat when we only had 9 active players. And when you're seeing a guy like, let's use another example, Scottie Pippen, who, by the way, was in the closing lineup against the Heat, played 24 minutes. This is a guy who has been on this team for 5 minutes, it feels like. He's a part of my favorite closing lineup maybe of the year, which was Jaren at the 5, Scottie Pippen at the 1, and then Gigi, Vince, and Conchar on the wings. Like, how fun was that closing lineup? It's because they can contribute in so many different ways and can do so many different things.
Score on them.
Yes, and you can't score on them. The skill sets are there, and I think it's just glaringly obvious with Zaire. I don't know of any support right now that he has. I don't know. I haven't talked to a believer in Zaire since last year. Yeah. And it's honestly since the preseason. And then once we saw a few games into the regular season, what transpired, and it's kind of like, oh, so he hasn't figured it out. And so that's where we stand. I feel like it is. We are a broken record. I feel like a broken record at this point, but my position has not changed after one 17-point performance.
And by the way, for all the people that are upset, because not only did you already comment that that we have not actually moved despite all the winning, we're still pretty much in the same lottery ball spot. Look at what we just said. What the closing lineup we liked was, guess what, all those guys, you know, other than Jaren, obviously, but these guys were late picks. They're two ways. They're G League guys. Whereas our first round picks are not, are on the bench mostly. And so I just say that to say, and I think, honestly, I just think the NBA is becoming more and more this way too. It's not just us. But I, you know, obviously I did it in my rant a couple weeks ago on the tanking thing, that I think that the getting a pick here or there, moving up a couple spots or back a couple spots, barring right before the draft and some kind of trade move, is just, you know, it's very overrated as far as like hurting your culture and just like not being a competitive team. I think that messes with people. I want us being super competitive. Then, and with that also, with going back to the Jenkins thing, I mean, I do... I want to give Jenkins credit. I mean, I do think, honestly, I think a lot of the anti-Jenkins sentiment on Twitter is really all about the fact that he plays Zaire.
100%.
And I And I think one of the things people have to realize, we're only dressing 9 or 10 guys. Like, it's, we kind of have to play him some. And what you look and you see, like today, he was terrible and he didn't play the entire fourth quarter. He barely played in the second half. And so Jenkins is responding to that. He is starting to do that. I do think earlier in the year we played him more because I think the team wanted, as I said, wanted Z to happen. They wanted to make Z happen. He didn't happen. I think they are trying to get him enough reps so that teams might be enticed by him. I think he reemerged when Jaw came back because, again, we were trying to get him to look good, to trade him. We were trying to see if he could work with Jaw. Like, I think the team really wants it to work. It just doesn't work. And I think now we are getting into a place where, like, he might just be a throw-in contract with another trade we make. Unfortunately, we don't have a lot of second-round picks. But honestly, I mean, I'm at a point where if we did have more second-round picks, I mean, giving a team a second-round pick just to take them off our books, I mean, I think that's worth it at this point. Like, I'd rather just get other young guys, especially if Laravia gets, like, healthy. Like, I don't have a lot of faith in Laravia, but he's only played a few, 50 games for us compared to Zaire. I'd love to see him get those minutes to see if maybe he is somebody who could be something. And I talk about Roddy. I mean, I think we're hard on Roddy. He's had a very, very poor shooting year compared to last year. His handle, for some reason, has gotten weird. He just has a lot of dribble turnovers, which are very, very frustrating. But at the end of the day, he makes some winning plays. He plays really hard defense. I thought he played Siakam pretty well today. I thought he did some good stuff defensively, especially in the first half. And so he's still one of those guys that, like, okay, it's worth it, at least on his salary right now, to keep him on the roster if we can't, if he doesn't go in a trade or stuff like that. He doesn't feel like he actively hurts the team, even if he doesn't help that much sometimes. But I just think Zaire's kind of the glowing thing. And I think if we got rid of Zaire, all of a sudden people would be a lot less frustrated with Jenkins and his lineups. It's just when you only have 9 guys, like against the Heat, I mean, he's going to play. You can't play everybody. And I do think he's done a good job. I mean, today, he took Zaire out with 7.6 seconds left in the quarter and put Conchar in because of how bad he was. To end the third quarter, he took him out with 7.6 seconds left. That's how frustrated Jenkins was with him. And so I do think, for people getting frustrated, I do think Jenkins is reacting to the play on the court. He just, like, we don't have anybody else to put in. So
if I'm the GM of the Grizzlies, what I'm doing is, of course, scouring the market for any significant upgrade to our team. But if that doesn't happen, which I don't expect it to, I would be sending out Xavier Tillman in exchange for a second round pick. I would be attaching that same second round pick to send Zaire to another team. And then I would reward Jacob Gilliard for his service, sign him to the roster with a deal that doesn't get us, close to the tax. But my guess is Gilliard, these are going to be his final days.
Like a team option for next year.
Sure. Team option for next year. And then we still have one more roster spot to fill.
Yes.
And that's where I take care of Gigi Jackson because he is going to be expiring and it's going to be a restricted free agent. If I'm Zach Kleiman, like I said, I'm sending out Tillman and Zaire. I'm signing Gilliard to a fake contract and I'm signing Gigi Jackson to as real of a contract as I can agree to. And those are my moves. And then we're
giving the best, whoever our number one big man prospect in the G League, we're giving him Gilliard's two-way.
100%.
And then he can play Tillman's minutes that we need.
Right. So, because we're going to need more bodies. We're going to need more bodies. We're going to need another 5. And that's what I'm doing. So any final
honestly,
notes?
That is an A-plus trade. If we do anything like that, that's an A-plus trade deadline for me, because I think the biggest thing, obviously we can pull off some crazy thing where we get like a Wendell Carter Jr. or something where I'd be super excited, but for me the biggest thing is we need Gigi Jackson signed before the offseason. We need him on the main roster and hopefully to a pretty team friendly contract that's similar to maybe a decent rookie contract type thing.
Yep. All right. Go ahead.
One other thing I just want to throw out there. Just quickly was just Tillman, because I want to get your opinion. It's been interesting, Tillman has had some great games where he's played really good defense, makes some winning plays. He still, he hustles. In a little way, I guess he's like Roddy in that way. But it's been weird after seeing him do really well in the playoffs and in crunch time end of seasons the last couple years, actually last 3 years, being good in those situations. To him just having really bad games, I think like today, he was pretty awful. Missed just lots of layups that he should hit. It's just an interesting... and yet, there's these games he has. Honestly, really, like the national games on TNT, like it's kind of like the better teams we play. He plays unbelievably defensively, and he does these sort of things. And so it's been just an interesting feeling him out, because he was sort of my who's down, you know, nominee. But he actually played really well against the T-Wolves. He had some really good games, but then he just has some huge stinkers. And so it's just really interesting for me. And I'm hoping that maybe those good games and the fact that they're on national TV is why a team like the Celtics or some other teams that I think could really use Tillman might give us some second round picks for him. But I didn't know what you thought about that.
Yeah, it's just the problem right now is his weaknesses are exacerbated based on what we need and what he can't provide, which is just simple shot making. The 3-point shot, he's averaging his most amount of attempts, which is 1.6 per game. He's shooting 23%, which is terrible. He's only shooting 40% just field goal percentage, which is the lowest of his career. And that's a problem when you play down low like he does, because you need guys like that to shoot above 50, honestly, if you're going to be a center or a power forward that plays where he plays. And I think that combination has just sort of betrayed the trust that I have in Tillman. He does so many little things, but if he can't finish easy buckets...
And he's a terrible free throw shooter.
That's the problem, too. I mean, he's literally 40% from the line.
Which I don't think was the case like 2 years ago. It's been so weird.
No, he was 60.
Like, he's never an 85% free throw shooter, but he was not below 50% like he is this year.
He was 64, 65, 55, and down to 40. And all averaging about the same free throw attempts per game. And so that to me has been the biggest problem, is just the field goal percentage overall. And he's never been strong finisher, but he'll get to the right place. And that's his biggest strength, is just knowing where to go and making some different plays, forcing turnovers, getting key rebounds, being able to guard the best, paint player on the other team. And so anyway, that's where I am with Tillman. It's just kind of at the point where I think there's a reason we didn't get him a contract this past offseason, and the writing's on the wall for him. I think he'll have an opportunity with another team that will want his rights going into the offseason, because he's not going to be an expensive player at all, and he will be serviceable. I don't think he's going to be like out of the league in a couple years. I think he'll be on a good contract, a team-friendly contract with the team that, I don't know, I think maybe someone like the Clippers could use him a whole lot as a backup five, or someone like that who's looking to make a playoff run and just needs another body that knows what they're doing. And so I just think that he's been great as far as just a teammate, and he's been fun to watch at times and has had some big plays, but I think his time with the Grizzlies just coming to an end, and it's because of the simple facts that I just laid out.
No. True. And I think, I don't think he'll be out of the league, because I think if it's really that low, I mean, if he's not able to do better than like a veteran minimum, I actually think the Grizzlies will probably look to in the next year or two, just because he's Jaren's best friend and other things. Like, I just think I could see us bringing him back on a minimum contract to be, our 11th through 15th guy, like he has been sort of. So he's definitely, I don't think he's going to be out of the league for sure. I didn't think he could play some really good, meaningful playoff minutes this year, I think, for a team. For sure.
Agreed. The need to know for this week, we have the Kings tomorrow night, Monday, 7 p.m. Tonight, if you're listening to this on Monday morning, the Cavs Thursday. This was originally going to be a late night TNT game. They bumped it back up to 7 p.m. I'm assuming that means it's not going to be on any national programming. Warriors Friday night at home, 7 p.m. That'll be a fun game. The return, they're going to be looking for their revenge. And then we play at the Celtics on Sunday at 5 p.m. I have a mea culpa. I got my dates wrong for the Super Bowl because I forgot about the gap week. And so this is not Super Bowl Sunday. We played them on Super Bowl Sunday last year, but this year it's just on a random Sunday. Yeah. So, but it's going to be a really fun game to watch, because Marcus Smart will be making his not return on the floor, with the Celtics, but he will be making his return to that home arena. And so anyway, what do you think overall about the games upcoming? We finally are at home for a little stretch here for a few games, and then with the two sets of back-to-backs that we're playing as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's one of those interesting. I mean, this is going to be it's a weird. I definitely feel like, I mean, I don't think any of us expect to make the play-in at this point, but this is, I think, a pretty big week for us. We've actually maintained the 60% winning since Ja returned that we said we need to be 41-41. We've actually maintained that, although, you know, so in this 5-game stretch, you know, it would be continuing to go like 3-2. We're already 0-1, losing to the Pacers. But with that said, you know, I think the Kings are a team. They're good. If we come with the correct sort of competitive fire, I think we've come back with these last few games. If we get the home crowd, I do think it's winnable. They don't play any defense. I think it's going to be, it's actually sort of a benefit that we played the Pacers right before them, because it's a very similar, you know, a lot of threes up and down, not much defense. So hopefully in that sense, we kind of got a trial with that. We played awesome defense against the Pacers for 3 of the 4 quarters. And just we had let them have that 141-point quarter in the third that killed us. And so hopefully we come and we got to have a home crowd behind us. Hopefully Luke Kennard's playing, which will be a big help as well. But they're a good team. I mean, they're a playoff team. So that would be – and the same thing with the Cavs. They've actually – you know, they're missing 2 of their guys, but they've been surprisingly good. You know, thoughts of Ewing theory everywhere, except maybe 2 Ewing theory, with both Mobley and Garland being out, and yet the Cavs seem – to continue to win. That might just be say something about the weakness of the East. I don't know. But they're a team that's very beatable, especially on our home floor. But again, we could lose it. It's a winnable game. I think those two are winnable. And obviously we just beat the Warriors. I will say that I do think they have Draymond's back now. They had an epic 2-0 loss to the Lakers in the game. I didn't know who to cheer for. I just kind of cheered against. But it will be interesting to see with the Warriors if they I have a feeling they're going to bring a little more energy than they brought to the MLK game, because I don't think they want to lose to us again. So I think that's kind of a tough one for me, but I think we can beat them. I mean, I don't think they're very good. They basically are only a couple games ahead of us. But I definitely think they're going to come out with more energy than they did in MLK. So we're going to have to match that. And then obviously I would be shocked. Boston's not been playing amazing. If we have any competitiveness with Boston, I think it's going to be because it's a Sunday afternoon and they just are kind of going through the motions, and maybe the emotions of Marcus Smart. I don't know. But I'm chalking that one up as probably a pretty big L. So really, I think we need to try to take care of business and win 2 of the 3 home games before we go to Boston. I think if we can go 2-1, I think it does, you know, again, our very, very, very slim margins of kind of treading water, maybe getting a little close to that 10 seed, and then maybe being able to get like Bane and Smart and others back to kind of just make it fun in March. So we'll see. But I think that's sort of the big thing for me to look at. I mean, it was interesting. I know I'm talking a lot about what's next, but I think it was interesting just today, you know, people putting up, you know, that the 2 or 3 teams ahead of us, they have pretty hard schedules left. The Warriors are really struggling. You know, but the Rockets and the Jazz have really tough schedules. The Lakers have a tough schedule. So it'll be interesting to see. I don't think those teams are going to run away from us, but I think we have to start winning some games to stick with them, and maybe even, you know, going on another 3-game win streak or something like that. So we'll see. So I think the next 3 games are winnable, but they're very losable too. So kind of honestly the same as last week. But these teams are probably slightly better than the teams we played last week is what I would say. So.
I could see us looking up next Sunday after the Celtics game, and we had an 0-4 week with a couple of close losses that were competitive. The problem for me, if I were to predict what that would look like, is the fact that they are 2 sets of back-to-backs, and the Warriors coming on the second night of the back-to-back. And me wishing that was the Thursday night instead of the Friday night, because I do think that we have a chance, obviously, against a team like the Cavs. The problem is they're just hot right now. Donovan Mitchell's not going to hate us as he normally did with Dylan Brooks on the other side, because Dylan's not going to be there. But he's going to have to deal with Vince Williams. And I have a feeling he's not going to like Vince Williams very much either. No. And so I think, to me, if I'm ranking what I want to happen, it is, of course, to beat the Warriors over anybody. Secondly, I would love to beat the Cavs, because then that, to me at least, gives you some momentum going into a really tough weekend. And then the third would be to, of course, I would like to beat the Celtics, but that to me is like a complete schedule loss. But the Kings game tomorrow night is just going to be, I think, an important one for morale. Like you said, I hope that Luke does end up playing. They are also beatable. Not a great defense. If you can somehow catch them on a night when one of, you know, Keegan Murray or Harrison Barnes doesn't hit five threes, then right. You have a chance. Fox and Sabonis have a great two-man game, but we've shown that we can defend any team that's going to roll out there. We might not score, but we can defend. And so if we can slow them down, then it'll be
need a big Jaren Knight with the Kings, because they don't have anybody who can guard him.
Right.
But exactly. I will say that Sabonis tends to get a lot of rebounds against us. So that's another thing to kind of look at too. For sure. I mean, I will say, I mean, part of it is, you know, again, it was 2 weeks since we did our last week then, but I mean, you know, you predicted 2-8. I predicted 3-7. We already have 3 wins. And
that's so right.
There is this sense for us that, I mean, you know, obviously we'd love to win more, but you know, everything else is gravy in this 10-game stretch. We were expecting us to really struggle. And so the fact that we already have 3 wins is really cool.
Yeah. That's a great note.
Hopefully we can add that to that.
100%. And notably, the schedule in the last week has been a bit lighter. And so this is the reality of the NBA. You're going to have a lighter week, but then it's going to be pretty tough. Glad it's all at home, though. We get to see some fun matchups overall. So any final thoughts before we head out?
Nope. So ready for my MVP pick. That's probably been weeks in the making, I think.
Yep. Who you got?
So you said it earlier, we raved about it, the number one takeaway. Anybody who on like at all decent usage who has an over 100% true shooting percentage has to be my MVP. You know, I think Jaren's had a great week being kind of our number one option, our best player on the floor, but he's had some stinkers, even though he played some good defense and did other things to help us win. But Vince Williams has just been incredible. I think these last 2 weeks, seemingly putting up double doubles, you know, making the plays that he needs to make, guarding the best guy on the perimeter. I haven't given him MVP yet, so it's my time to give Vince Williams MVP, and I feel like he has been the MVP of the last 2 weeks.
Couldn't agree more. He gets the second MVP in a row for me. So congratulations, Vince. Just one contract, 2 Weekden MVPs. Congrats. Well, this has been another edition of the Weekden Update. We appreciate you joining us. We are looking forward to the rest of the season, which is, you know, we've already hit the halfway point. Before we know it, after the trade deadline, All-Star Weekend is going to be here, and then we're looking at, you know, about less than 30 games left. So enjoy Grizzlies basketball, even though it's a weird version. Enjoy it while you can. You're going to be wishing it was back, you know, in the dog days of July and August. So keep watching. Keep listening. We will be in your feeds weekly moving forward. So we appreciate it. And for Kraft, I'm Will. Thanks for joining us. We will talk to you next week then.